We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to page Tes Zainam at Beis in the Tractate Shabbos, Daf Zainam at Alf in the Standard in Yaakov's. And we're on to another interesting story about Shimon ben Shattach. Who is Shimon ben Shattach? Nope.
Oh, no.
Is he in
Pirkei Avot? Yes, he is in Pirkei Avot. Okay.
Yeah,
what?
That's what I meant.
First chapter, correct. He's in Pirkei Avot in the first chapter.
Predecessor to Hillel.
He's earlier than Hillel, correct. So we learned two times ago.
And Shammai's teacher.
Let's see. Let's open up Pirkei Avot and let's see.
Shammai and Avtalion, wasn't it?
Shammai and Avtalion were Hillel and Shammai's teachers, so almost. Let's see. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shattach were partners, if that helps you see. So let's see. If we open up Pirkei Avot, that's a good way to go. We begin with Moshe. We go down to the men of the great assembly. And then Shimon HaTzadik is from the remnants. And then Antigonus Yisocho learns from Shimon HaTzadik. And then we have the two Yosis, Yosi ben Yoze Yisreda and Yosi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim. That's where we start the partners. One is the prince, the Nasi, and the other one is the Av Bezdin, the head of the court, the two leaders of Israel. And then we go on to Yoshua ben Prachia and Nitai Ha'arbeli. So again, you have men of the great assembly, the beginning of the Second Temple era, are the men of the great assembly with Ezra the scribe. And the remnants of the men of the great assembly is Shimon HaTzadik. He meant Alexander the Great. Remember, Shimon HaTzadik was the high priest that Alexander the Great came to conquer Jerusalem and met him and said, every time before I go to war, I see a vision of Shimon HaTzadik before I go to war. And that's why he bowed to Shimon. Then we went on to Antigone, Antigonus Yisocho. So, men of the great assembly, Shimon HaTzadik, Antigone, Antigonus Yisocho, Yosi and Yosi. Okay, that's three generations away from the men of the great assembly. Yoshua ben Prachia, Nitai Ha'arbeli. Yoshua ben Prachia and Nitai Ha'arbeli. Yoshua ben Prachia, maybe it's not nice to say, but he's the one who had a disciple who's known as Yeshu. And then Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shattach, four generations away from the men of the great assembly. They are the partners. Yehuda ben Tabai is the Nasi, Shimon ben Shattach is the head of the court. What do we know about Shimon ben Shattach? So we discussed a story about him and 80 women. Remember this? On Sunday, the women in Ashkelon that were executed. Mm-hmm. And we discussed his son. And Shimon ben Shattach, we discussed that his brother-in-law was the king, a Sadducee. His sister was married to the king. And that's why when Yanai killed out all the rabbis, Shimon ben Shattach was spared. Shimon ben Shattach was willing to stand up to Yanai. He wasn't concerned because he knew he was on good footing with Yanai. Right? Yes, you guys remember these stories? Let's see. We discussed these stories back in Tractate Brachos. Let's see. Over here. Yanai. Here we go. We discussed the story that Yanai was from the Asmonean kings and decided he would be the high priest, and the rabbis told him he can't do that, so he had them all killed. And then he was having a meal with his wife, and he didn't know how to bench. So he said to his wife, where do we have someone who can bench for us? And she said, promise me you won't kill me, you won't kill my brother, and I'll bring him. And you won't oppress him. So he promised her. So she brings out her brother, Shimon ben Shattach. She hit him when Yanai killed out the other rabbis. And they gave Yanai a seat up there at the dais with the king and queen. So Yanai says, hey, rabbi, look at all the honor I'm giving you. So Shimon ben Shattach looks at the king and says, you didn't give me any honor. It's the Torah that gave me the honor. The Torah says, honor it and it will rise you to great heights. It will honor you when you hug it. So Yanai turns to his wife and says, you see, he has no respect. So they give Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Ben Shatach, they give him a cup of wine, and they say, you lead benching. So Shimon Ben Shatach says, you want me to say, blessed is the God that fed the other people? So they said, so what do you want? So he said, I want to be, if I'm a part of the meal, then I could bless. You want me to officiate the blessing? I got to be a part of the meal if I'm making the blessing. So he drinks the first cup, and they bring him a second cup. So at any rate, we have fantastic stories about Shimon Ben Shatach. He was meticulously honest, and he lived in a very difficult time period in Jewish history when you had the Herodian dynasty. Herod had it in with the Romans. He was a slave in the Hasmonean kingdom, and the Hasmoneans let him lead a battalion, and he buddied up with the Romans. And as a buddy of the Romans, he had his own battalion. And using his military prowess, he went in and killed out all his masters, the whole Hasmonean dynasty, leaving himself alone. And then he took over the Hasmonean dynasty and said, I'm the continuation. And that's why we say anyone who tells you he's Hasmonean today, he's a slave. Because they're all children of Herod. And Herod himself was a slave. But he was a slave who killed out his masters. And then he took over the dynasty. And from him onward, we have kings who are very bloody. They murder left and right. And that's the end of the Second Temple period, the Herodian dynasty. So Yanai was a descendant of the Herodian dynasty. They call him the Hasmoneans, but he's not really Hasmonean. He was a slave of the Hasmonean household. And Yanai was a Sadducee. He didn't believe in tradition. And his brother-in-law was Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach, in his time period, which we're talking about approximately 200 years before the destruction of the temple, right? The Second Temple period, the Hasmoneans were a little more than 200 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, and shortly into their reign, they were wiped out, taken over by Herod, and ultimately we have Yanai. So maybe it's 150 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. And so Shimon ben Shatach tiken ktuba liisha. Shimon ben Shatach instituted a ksuba for a woman. So there's a lot of discussion here. What does that mean? He instituted a ksuba for a woman. But in certain ways, he strengthened the ksuba for women, or he instituted a large sum of money in the ksuba for women to protect women, because if there wasn't a large sum of money in the ksuba, if the ksuba were just if the ksuba were just easy money, so then whenever a husband would get upset at his wife, he'd say, get out of here. Here's the money I owe you, goodbye. So Shimon ben Shatach instituted that ksuba would be an expensive proposition. That getting divorced wouldn't be so easy to protect the women. So Shimon ben Shatach tiken ktuba liisha. He instituted a ksuba for women. V'gozar tuma al klei matchot. And he also decreed that metal vessels can become spiritually defiled. So do we have to introduce what tuma is? Yeah? Okay. How many people want to go off on this tangent? And how many people don't want to go off on this tangent? Okay, so the vote is not to go off on this tangent. So we'll just say that the Torah teaches us that there is some kind of spiritual defilement. Aside from what's physically dirty, we say that things can be spiritually dirty. So we say that when a person dies, there's a lot of defilement, a lot of spiritual impurity. Anything that's in the house with him gets impure, gets defiled, and we have a halachic process for purifying it. most things require a visit to the mikvah, to the special rain waters, in order to become pure. Some things, like things that become defiled by a dead person, require the red heifer procession, etc., which is another whole concept that the Torah teaches us. But that we'll have to discuss at a later date. We were outvoted. So the Talmud asks, wait a second, what do you mean Shimon ben Shattach instituted this? The Torah says metal objects can become defiled, as the verse says, Achtazavet, Akasv, etc. Answers the Gemara, Lo nitzchale letumai shana. You know what Shimon ben Shattach instituted? That old Tumah comes back. How so? Following story, Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We have Rav Yehuda, remember him? We spoke about him last time. Last time he quoted who? He quoted his Rebbe Shmuel. Now he's quoting the other Rebbe, Shmuel's contemporary, whose name is?
Rav.
Very good. Maaseh b'shel Tzion Hamalka. Following story. There was a queen named Shel Tzion. You guys heard of her? She was in the days of Shimon ben Shetach. She'asta mishte libna. She made a wedding for her son. V'nitme'u kol keila. And to her misfortune, all her vessels got defiled. Maybe someone dropped dead in the house. So here she has all her golden goblets ready for the meal. She's invited everyone, and suddenly everything's defiled a day before the meal. What's she going to do? So she was a smart lady. She said, well, if I bring a red heifer and I sprinkle on it, it'll take 7 days to get it pure. I have to sprinkle on the third day and the seventh day. I'll do something else. She called in a blacksmith, and she said to him, here's what I want you to do. Drill a hole in every vessel. Once you drill the hole in every vessel, they lose their status of being a vessel. And once they lose their status of being a vessel, they're pure. Then I want you to fix all of them. And with that, good. When you're a queen, you could do that.
This reminds me of a story. How big of a hole is it?
That's a good question. So if it's a vessel like this, a goblet, even a small hole, or once it cannot house the wine, once the wine spills out, finished. So So she destroyed her vessels, brought in a blacksmith, and he fixed them. And the rabbi said, Your Majesty the Queen, we have bad news for you. We're making a new rabbinic decree. All the old defilement comes back. Biblically, what you did works. Rabbinically, we make a new decree. Doesn't work. What?
That's just mean.
What, my time? Well, why'd they do such a thing? Mishum geda mechatat naguba. Because the rabbi said, wait a second. We live in a time where the average person has one goblet, two goblets. No one can afford to wait 7 days if there's another out. What's going to happen is that no one's going to do the biblical commandment of using the red heifer waters. Everyone's going to do this trick. Once the queen does it, word gets out, everyone's going to do this. So the rabbis, Mishum Gedo Mechatat Naguba, they said, if we don't do this rabbinic decree, we're going to lose the whole concept of the waters of the red heifer of the Parah Aduma. So that was Shimon ben Shattach's institution, where we say he decreed that metal objects should be defiled. Doesn't mean literally. Literally, metal objects get defiled. That's a biblical rule. He decreed that they could go back. They revert rabbinically to their old defilement.